Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 22nd edition of The Morning Show on this very fine Earth Day. And to celebrate, we're going to have in some of our perennial guests, if we can use the word perennial, springtime now, folks coming out to us from Round Lake. I'm really happy today to have Mary McGraw, who is the park superintendent, and Bart Goodkey, the park ranger from Round Lake. Welcome, Mary and Bart.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's been a while since you two have been on, so we have new listeners all the time and some of those whose memories may be going. So why don't you start with a little bit of an introduction, more than what I just did, about yourselves and your role. And Mary, you've been at Round Lake a long time. If you can remember how you came to get to Round Lake.
Yeah, I've been in the Parks Department for about 37 years and 27 of that at Round Lake. So I had spent some time in southern Idaho in a park ranger position. Opportunity came open for me to move north to where we have trees and lots of lakes and stuff like that. And that was always very attractive to me. So I took that opportunity, was a ranger here for about 20 years. And then after that, for about 7 years as the park manager.
It sure seems like home.
It does. Yeah. Yes.
Bart, tell us your genesis of making it to Round Lake.
Sure, yeah. I started with the department in 2012, yes. I started at Bruno Dunes outside of Boise there, beautiful park. But, you know, I miss the color green, and I miss mountains and streams and lakes and things like that. So I always wanted to come up north, and Round Lake's always been one of my favorite parks. And luckily for me, there was a position that opened up, and I was able to slip into that about 8 years ago. So North Idaho is definitely home for me as well.
Yeah. So now I don't think the average listener will really know inherently what the difference is between the park superintendent and the park ranger. Tell us a little bit about what you do. Describe a day in the life of.
Well, I kind of describe my position as helping out the rangers and getting everything that they need to do the job. I spend a lot of time doing management, planning, fiscal stuff, stuff like that. So I do more paperwork than I really like to. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is it's a small park, so I do have opportunities to get outside, to do some interpretive work, to do some resource work. And that's really the stuff that the reason I got into resource management anyhow. So, but, you know, I get to do that and I get to help the rangers get their job done.
Mm-hmm. And I do a little bit of everything at Round Lake, which is how I like it. It's really fun. I say I'm a jack of all trades and master at none. Yeah. Everything from enforcing the rules at the park to clearing the trail when trees go down, to sweating some copper if a pike breaks, or changing oil in the vehicles, or splitting and bagging the wood. So it's really fun. It keeps every day different. And as far as I can tell, Mary knows everything about everything. So when I have a question about things or advice or whatnot, I go to Mary, and she truly does help guide us and get us through. So it's really good.
Now, most people here, I think, will know where Round Lake is and a little bit about it, but you said small and everything is relative. So give us some of the stats on Round Lake.
Yeah, Round Lake, like I mentioned, is a small park. It's about 200 acres. 58 of those acres are the lake. It's a non-motorized lake. We do allow electric motors, but no gasoline motors attached. So it makes for a nice, quiet experience, especially down in that bowl where everything echoes anyhow. We have two trails that go around the lake. We have a 51-unit campground, visitor center. So it's all pretty compact. And in regards to that, it makes it a little bit easier for us because we don't have to travel so far to get our work done. It just makes for a nice, cozy setting.
I guess it seems larger because surrounding it are Idaho Department of Lands, and I believe a little bit of Bureau of Land Management land on the south side.
Yeah, it's we are surrounded by Idaho Department of Lands property. Actually, the whole section is owned publicly. Lands Department of Lands owns 3/4 of it, and we own 1/4 of it, mm-hmm. of that section. Yeah. We do have a little bit of property on the north side of Dufferin Road, which is where our utilities are and our shop work area is. So we have about, I think it's about 20 acres over there.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to jump right into one of the topics that we want to talk about today. There's been in the news lately some information about an upcoming timber sale on the Department of Land's property, not the Round Lake State Park property, but what's described as the near Round Lake timber sale. When is that happening and how will that impact the park users?
Yeah, there's been, of course, IDL is, their mission is to provide money for public schools, and what they do is they manage the forest and harvest the forest to be able to provide funds for the public schools. So their mission is a very noble one. It helps all of our kids and local communities. But what they, with us, what we do is we manage most of our trails on their property, and we have a temporary permit to be able to manage that. And so our trails during the logging operation, which won't take place probably we're looking in 2026 to 2028 is when the mm-hmm. sale will probably be happening. But during that time, we're encouraging them to do most of the work in the wintertime to have the least impact mm-hmm. on our visitors. And also while they're actively logging, we're going to have to close down those trails. If we can find alternate routes that we can manage safely, we might do that. But during that time, those trails will be closed, or we'll have to just stay on the trails on our property. So that does make it a little bit difficult. It is a little bit of an inconvenience, but you know, we got to understand that they have to complete their mission also.
Right. So that's a ways off into the future anyway. We'll have to have you back on as that becomes closer.
Yeah. So. And if anybody has any questions about the sale, you know, please reach out to IDL. They're more than happy to give you more information about that.
Thank you. So we're here on Earth Day, which just always brings to mind, you know, what's popping up, what's growing and coming up in the park for springtime.
What an awesome time to be out at Round Lake. It's so nice to feel that sun on you and see the animals coming back to life and things growing. It's wonderful. We've got lots of wildlife in the park right now. I haven't seen any fawns yet, so we're still a little bit early for that. But the deer are sure out, and they're feeding like crazy. Of course, right now, the turkeys are gobbling. They're doing their breeding thing right now, so that's really cool to hear. I love hearing a wild turkey out in the woods there. The eagles are happy fishing, and the Seahawks are back.
Oh, yeah.
So we're starting to see the Seahawks, which is really great.
Yeah.
Skunk cabbage is up in the park, which I absolutely love. It smells phenomenal. You'd walk around Lake, you think we're a skunk sanctuary or something, but it's just the skunk cabbage.
Yeah.
A little bit early for the trillium. I haven't spotted a trillium yet, nor have I found a morel mushroom yet. So I think the nights are still a little bit cold for that. But just life everywhere. It's really nice to be out.
Now, that feeder creek on the east side sometimes rises up and makes that trail impassable. How is it right now?
Excellent question. Yes, it was impassable for about 2 weeks. We just checked it the other day. It is passable, but muddy. So just be aware your boots will get a little bit muddy going on the east side. But it's nice to see that water level dropping a little bit.
Yeah. What a special place to really feel spring. I mean, to me, spring is all about the skunk cabbage coming up at Round Lake. Mm-hmm.
agreed. Yeah. Wonderful experience. Yeah.
What's new, Mary? What's new now, and what's new on the horizon line for the coming season?
We have you may have noticed if you've been down to the lake recently that we have a lot of construction going on.
Yes.
So, you know, in the last couple of years, we've talked about some of the benefits that we've had with the state prospering and the governor being generous enough to give us some money to do some infrastructure repairs and replacements. So we've been working on our water system, our sewer system. We're doing backup units to make the systems more reliable and for our customers when we have bad weather or windstorms. It just makes things seamless and power continues on. So we're working on that. Right now, one of the really fun things that we're working on is they're doing construction for the infrastructure for the tree houses that we're going to put in.
They're finally happening.
I've been talking about the tree houses for a long time. So we're really excited. We got the water, the sewer, and the power going into the treehouse location. I was just at a meeting. We do have the permits for both treehouses, so that is definitely moving forward. And we anticipate that they're going to be in the park building the treehouses this summer. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly the arrival date for them to come into the park. We're anticipating mid to early June, and they'll be working throughout the summer to get those treehouses in and hopefully have them ready by this fall or at the very latest early next spring.
So if the structure's up in the trees, is it still considered breaking ground when you start construction?
When we have to put the ground stuff in, yes.
But, I guess the sewer lines, you're breaking ground.
Right. We're breaking ground that way. But yeah, the tree houses are, a lot of people are concerned about whether we're going to attach them to the trees or not. And we're not actually going to attach them to the trees, but they're going to be high enough up in the trees that you will be in the trees. And that's, in my mind, the most important part about being in a treehouse.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. Now, that's not the treehouse from my childhood. We didn't have running water and sewage and all those nice amenities.
Right. Yeah, these are going to be deluxe treehouses, and they're going to be very nice. They have designed them. We're working on some of the final details, but they're going to be very nice. They're going to have a little kitchenette, a separate bathroom, and a very large deck area to overlook the lake. It's mm-hmm. going to be a really nice view.
Now, I hope I'm not spilling the beans, but the last time I was out there, you and I talked about some other campground access improvements. Are those ready for prime time?
We are looking at putting in some bike-in, hike-in, ski-in, snowshoe-in cabins. They're going to be, actually, this is part of one of the projects that the governor really initiated. And that's to provide more recreation on places other than state parks. So we're actually going to put these cabins on IDL property. Mm. And so these are going to be available year-round. This is our hope. We're in the very early stages of this. So we're still working on the details and making sure that we can make this happen. But that's our goal, is to get two cabins out overlooking the creek on the west side, mm-hmm. kind of near the Trapper's Bridge, and providing a year-round backcountry adventure.
Yeah, that would be a little more remote.
It would be remote. Probably would not have water. We probably would have electricity.
Hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
It'd be exciting.
It'd be a nice addition.
It'd be quite the change.
And so in the winter, is the access still going to be that winter road? Or also we're looking at one time, I think, about changing an access structure.
Yeah, I think that's going to be down the line. We just don't have the means to be able to do that right now, but that is in future plans. Right now, we'll still be doing the winter access versus the summer access.
Yeah, that seems to work. It makes for a nice sled hill when the conditions are right, the main access road being closed down.
Yeah, it was pretty slow. It was pretty narrow window this year, but it does make for a nice ski sledding area.
Yeah. So I got to ask you, anything special planned today for Earth Day?
For Earth Day, we don't have anything specially planned. We are getting a new staff, so staffing is a little bit new this year. And so we didn't have an opportunity to plan anything super special, but mm-hmm. there's always opportunities to come out. There is a iNaturalist project that is on iNaturalist. So you can come into the park anytime. And if you're making observations and recording them on your iNaturalist app, they will record to mm-hmm. the Round Lake project. So that really helps us out to look at what our natural resources is, what the inventory is, and get an idea of what's really out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be something very interesting to do.
Yeah, that would be interesting to do. And like I said, we always encourage people to come out and walk and enjoy the natural area. See if you can be the first one to find a trillium. So,
what a great excuse to get out and do some exploring. Awesome.
They should be coming up soon.
They should be.
So what are some of the programs coming up? I think every summer I know you've got some special programming in terms of naturalist talks and other things.
Yeah, we're hoping to invite a few more people out to do some naturalist programs. We want to continue our junior ranger programs, which we've been doing on every weekend. It varies from Saturday to Sunday, depending on our staffing. We're also hoping to have evening programs. Friday or Saturday nights, sometimes Sunday nights on holidays. Mm-hmm. Like I said, our staffing has changed this year. We have a brand new ranger that's actually just starting, so we're looking forward to that. Last year we had a new office assistant come in and help us out, mm-hmm. and she's been great helping us out, getting things planned, keeping us organized, which we really needed that.
Yeah.
So she's willing to help out. She's been great about doing that. We're hoping to, we still have the backpack loaner programs and we have the fishing pole loaner programs, which, fishing game, Idaho Fishing Game provides loaner fishing poles as well as tackle.
Yeah.
So it encourages people to get out there, do some fishing, you know, try and catch all the fish before the osprey get in, get them all.
What a great place to learn.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. If you've never done it before, a lot of times people don't want to go out and make that investment. You come in, get a loaner fishing pole, get some equipment. We try and do some programs about fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Bart loves to do some fly fishing experiences.
It's really fun.
Yeah, and we're hoping to try and encourage, maybe get somebody in to do some kayaking and maybe kayak fishing. So
what an awesome experience that would be.
Yeah, that would be a great addition.
Well, let's talk about some of the ongoing projects. At least I hope they're still going on. I know in the not too distant past, we had you on talking about the Western Painted Turtle project.
Yes. We still have that going on. We've got a lot of turtles in the park, which is great. Recently, the past couple of years, we have had some, I don't know that we want to call them issues, you know, because it's a natural world, natural things happen. But we have had some predation in the park. I believe we put up some trail cameras last year and we found that it was mainly skunks. There's quite a good population of skunks out there and they were digging up the nests and eating the eggs and things like that. So that'll happen. You know, everything, mm-hmm. everything comes in waves in nature and the predators will be high and the prey will be low and then it'll switch and things. So it'll be interesting to see this year how many we have hatch, given that they were preyed upon so much last year. But as far as I know, Gonzaga University is still keeping tabs on them and still collecting their data and seeing how the weather and everything still affects their numbers. So it's really good to see those turtles out.
It's good to have some long time baseline data from that.
Yeah, they've been doing the turtle research for almost 15 years now. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. This is the first time that we've seen that kind of predation on the turtles. So mm-hmm. it might be interesting to see in the future how that affects the population dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And you had a pollinator garden put in not too long ago, right?
Yeah, we did have the pollinator garden, and speaking of predation, the deer really enjoyed it.
The deer/pollinator garden.
Yes, yeah. deer/pollinator garden. So yeah, they've without us being able to actually fence it, they did do quite a number on it. But we have a staff member who loves to garden, and she has been taking care of the gardens closer to the visitor center. So she's been doing a great job the last couple of years. She's kind of expanded it to some baskets and mm-hmm. staying a little bit closer to the visitor center. So the deer are a little bit more reluctant to come in and wait till at least fall to do that.
they know there's going to be someone in there coming and shooing them away.
Yes, exactly. But she's tries to get as many different types of flowers and stuff to attract many different, the butterflies, mm-hmm. the bees, and get many different types of bees and even the moths and stuff to get in there. So she's done a really great job. We're trying to expand that a little bit by, you know, putting identifiers out on the plants, what they are and what they attract and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So we're trying to expand that program a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. How are those pesky invasive snails doing?
We need to find a predator for the snails.
The skunks, you can't get the skunks to switch from turtles to snails.
Yeah, we wish we could. Yeah. The snails are still there. We've been kind of keeping track of how many we've been taking out. And last year, we estimated that we took over 23,000 snails out of the lake.
Wow.
So it seems like, you know, we should be making headway on that, but I'm not sure if we are or not. You know, they dig down in the mud, they overwinter, and then all of a sudden, bingo, there's hundreds of them there. I no longer have the illusion that we're ever going to get rid of them. Yeah. I just hope to kind of contain them so that they don't spread further. And by getting people to continue to remove them from the lake is, you know, sometimes people are like, well, they never go away. And it's like, yeah, but you are helping in the long run.
Limit the spread.
Yeah, the spread. And, you know, in the past, we've offered free ice cream for 18 snails. And we're hoping to be able to do that again this summer. We're having some issues with distributors and getting ice cream to the park. Mm. So we're looking at some other options this year. But whether we have ice cream or not, I hope that people will continue to help us remove those snails. It's a fun activity. We have families coming in. They're spending the afternoons in the water, enjoying the, you know, the lake and the beach and on paddle boards. And they're also helping to, you know, reduce the invasive snails.
Yeah.
And as far as we've seen, I at least haven't seen or heard a report of a snail below the check dam.
Okay.
Which is excellent. We don't want that getting into the slough and into Pend'Oreille River.
Right.
So every snail that someone pulls out of our lake and collects is one that doesn't make it out to Pend'Oreille River. So it's great. Yeah, just keeping it controlled.
And how large are these snails? Are these the giant Asian snails or the little tiny microscopic things?
No, these are the giant snails. These are they're called the trapdoor snails or the Chinese mystery snails. So they're about 2 inches in diameter. So, you know, in the palm of your hand, you can probably put 3, maybe 4, depending on the size of your hand.
You'd know them if you saw them.
Absolutely. Yeah, they definitely. And somebody described them in the water. You know, you look in the water and it's kind of weird because you're looking into the water, but they look like a poop emoji.
Yeah.
You know, so just sitting there. So that will help people. But yeah, they're the larger snails and they're easy to, you know, they don't run away from you. So they're easy to catch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least they don't run very fast.
Not very fast, anyhow. Yes. So, you know, I just definitely encourage people to take them out of the lake. We've worked with Department of Ag to do some signing to get the word out, not to release unwanted pets, to, you know, don't let it loose, and to help us with that promotion. So they've helped us out quite a bit.
Yeah. So important.
It is.
I know it's been installed for a while now, but the campground improvements seem to be drawing in more people. Having visited somewhat frequently this winter, there were even winter campers in.
Yeah, we had more winter campers this winter. Bart's dealt a lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really good. The campground improvements people are really excited about. They actually have a flat place to put their tent. We've widened the road just ever so slightly to make it a little bit easier to back into the sites. We still have a little bit more upgrades to do. There's 17 sites in the upper loop that we're going to finish this fall with adding water and electricity. So we'll have more water and electricity sites to hook up to. So this winter maybe you want to talk about the new reservation system that we've just installed.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the mild weather this winter really played into the fact that we had more campers, which was, you know, always nice. But we have gone to a new reservation system, and it seems to be working pretty well from a customer standpoint. We actually have QR codes at every site now because our sites are now available for reservation 24 hours a day, where before you couldn't make a reservation prior to midnight the day before. So a lot of folks, you know, they'll come to the park, they'll get their site, pull out their phone, do the QR code thing, make the reservation right then and there. So that seems to be really nice. A lot less cash handling. So that's great on our part and the customer's part. I mean, I don't carry cash. I know a lot of folks don't.
Yeah.
So it seems to be pretty user friendly and people seem to be rolling with it. So it's really worked out well so far. There's still a couple of quirks to the system that we're trying to figure out, you know, and of course there's a little bit of a learning curve on the staff's part and things learning a new system. But I think it'll really serve us and our visitors better. So it's exciting.
Yeah, with the winter not being so snowy and stuff, you know, it allowed the campers to come in. We weren't there all the time to make sure that, you know, everything was good. They had the opportunity to come in and pay for it, and it's all a done deal. So it's really customer friendly. The hardest part with the system for me is unlearning the old system.
Yeah.
And the new habits. Yeah. And so yeah. The new system seems, people seem to get it, and it seems to be really customer friendly. So
well, that's good.
We're encouraging.
Probably just in the nick of time, I'm going to throw out a topic, and we're probably speculating, but with all the chaos that we're seeing throughout the nation in regards to public lands and closures, potential closures, restrictions in hours for national parks, premier national forest campsites, one has to assume that there may be a shift in the way that people recreate. And Round Lake State Park, other state parks in places like North Idaho might see increased use.
Yeah, I anticipate that will be the case.
Absolutely. Yeah, we saw the same type of thing in 2020. During the COVID pandemic, where a lot of states around Idaho shut down a lot of their forests and rivers and things like that, we got a big influx of tourism. But we have seen camping in general and just outdoor recreation slowly but steadily climbing every year. Every year, there's just more folks getting out and enjoying it. I think the word is getting out again. Like people are rediscovering how nice it is to be outside in those woods and to make those memories. And I mean, you know, all the little ones running around, they're the ones that are going to be managing these wild places in 20, 30 years. So we got to get them out there, and we got to, you know, foster that love for the outdoors. And it's happening.
Yeah, it's such a great gem locally. And again, one of the other things I think most likely putting pressure on it, or will put pressure on it, is the continued increase of population in North Idaho, and not just Bonner County, but neighboring Kootenai County, and the annual rate of growth of about 10 to 11% over the last 5 years has dramatically increased the number of people living here and also new visitors.
Definitely. Yeah. We've seen, you know, and both our Idaho visitors and our out-of-state visitors as well, you know, for a while, we were one of the parks where our fees were doubled if you were a non-resident of the state of Idaho. But recently, you know, going through the numbers, we actually found that we lost 27% revenue and visitation with that. So this year that has actually changed. So our non-residents will not be paying double this year. They'll be just paying $5 more. So that will also, I'm sure, manifests itself in an increase in the camping this year.
That's big news. I have a number of friends from Washington who have occasionally commented on the difference in price. They still pay it. But they'll be happy.
They will be happy, you know, and it, you know, state parks should be for everybody, and we love our non-resident users. And traditionally, you know, about 60% of our visitation has been from out of state, you know, so, they were coming when they were kids, and now they're bringing their kids. Yep. So we want to keep that going. You know, we appreciate everyone coming to the park, no matter where they're from. So,
And I think it helped us reset some of our, visitation with encouraging in-staters to use the park a little bit more. And so I think those numbers are going to even out a little bit more now that, you know, we've brought it back down. So, yeah, that was a good thing for us because we were losing money. Some of the other parks were able to maintain, you know, their revenue and their visitation. With us being such a small park, we saw a bigger impact on that, and it was nice that we were able to, you know, with support of the legislators and our director, to be able to not have to do that at Round Lake State Park. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we're winding down the time for the interview, and I think we've run through all of the things we talked about. Anything you'd like to add, any closing thoughts? We'll save the last word for Mary. So, Bart?
Oh, boy. Come on out. Come out to the park, play, experience, and all the new things that are happening, you know, the tree houses and potentially the hiking cabins and the campground improvements. Come experience it all. Come look for some turtles, snag some of those snails and get those up to us so we can help control that. You know, as Mary said, we'll never get rid of them. The best we can hope for is control. And so just keep us alive. Come out and enjoy the park. Make those memories.
Yeah, we'd like to see everybody come out. This time of the year is some of my favorite. And if you can get out, just get out to relax, to recharge, and to, you know, just keep yourself going. there's a lot of crazy things going on this time of, you know, this year. And if you need to get a little mental health time, come out and enjoy the enjoy the outside.
Walk around Round Lake. Always helps to lower the blood pressure a little bit.
It does.
I can't wait for the tree houses. That's just going to be so exciting. And the cabins.
Those will be exciting. They'll be fun for everybody to be able to watch and see how they progress. And I think that will create a lot of interest.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking this morning with Mary McGraw, Park Superintendent of Round Lake State Park, and Park Ranger Bart Kutke, in honor of Earth Day, celebrating one of our truly gem of a places here locally, Round Lake State Park. Thank you both for coming on the show.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.